God is really here today. He's always here because where you go, he is. You know that, right? It's not the building structure. You are the building structure for God. So wherever you are, he is, but he is strong here today. I think because we all came together in one heart and one mind. And in our pre-service prayer today, I really felt like I just prayed that where we left off on our worship night Friday night, we would pick up there instead of having to start over. And I feel like that's what happened today. I feel like we picked right up where we left off on Friday because we had a hard time leaving on Friday. It was such a powerful time of worship, like none of us wanted to go, not even to Mitchell's. Like, you know, that's a God thing when nobody even wants to leave to go to Mitchell's. Like, that's a big thing, you know? And I just feel like this morning from the first note, it just picked right up at that same spot again, and we just took off, and thank you, Lord, for that. So just so you know, Heather said she's organizing our VBS this year. So excited that she's doing that. And you have one of these that were given to you in that packet today. So she is doing a little collection. If you want to help supply items needed for VBS, there's a table right outside River Kids, and there's a list of things on there. I think we have enough orange cones because Josh told me today he has plenty of those, and we have a few back here. So I would avoid the orange cones, number two, but everything else on there, just talk to Heather if you have any questions. Of course, financial donations are always helpful to supply that we need, to buy the supplies that we need, snacks and all the expenses that we're going to get a banner this year and put it out on the front lawn that like a week or two beforehand tells people it's coming. So I'm excited about that. But, you know, there's expenses that go with that. But I know God always provides, and he will continue to do so. But just want to give you an opportunity to participate. I am really pumped about this message today because I know God gave it to me, and I didn't know who was going to be here, but he did. So he must have thought you would need this message today. Isn't that kind of cool to think about it? Psalm 139 says every day of my life was recorded before one of them ever came to be. And I can't tell you how many times that's given me comfort. I'm like, okay, I'm not saying that God plans everything like that happens, but he knows it's going to happen. And I take great comfort in that. So he knew you were going to be here today to hear this message, so get ready. If you're a note taker, find some blank paper. Look, you have all of this whole side if you need it today. Isn't that exciting? Not one little spot. So you can take notes on the back of that if you would like. If you're not a note taker, if you're an auditory learner, just listen. It's all good. But it's going to be good. So today we've been singing a lot about it, about fight. Today I want to talk about how we fight together. How we fight together. Okay? Not among each other. Let's not get confused. How do we fight? Okay? The first point I want to cover picks up in Ezra. I told you last week I was going to pick up in Ezra, and I'm picking up the first point in Ezra this week. If you missed last week's message, you probably should really get a hold of that online because it's really good, not because of me, because of the Lord. He just gives good stuff. And so listen online if you would like. If you go on our website, oakriverchurch.com or org, or what's the other one, whatever the other one is, net. I think we have all of those. But go on there and click on the tab that says Media Cafe, and you can find the message there. Point number one from Ezra, know the builders. Know the builders. If you're going to fight together, you need to know the builders, who the builders are. I'll read and then I'll tell you what I'm thinking about that. So last week we talked about Ezra and how Zerubbabel and some of the other prophets were so excited because the foundation of the temple had been rebuilt for the first time in many years. Approximately 80 is what we said last week. And so it was a big deal. They had come out of captivity and they were rebuilding the temple. But then, as soon as they started, they got the foundation rebuilt, opposition came against them. This is not unusual in life. When you start trying to build, you're going to get opposition. So just be ready for it. It doesn't have to knock you off your feet or whatever. It happens. And it's not, it's not anything new and it's not a big deal. It's just expected. Just be ready for it. And so they got some opposition and then they finally started rebuilding. And here we go. The enemies of Judah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 in the New Living Translation. The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding the temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, "Let us build with you. For we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed him ever since King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, "You may have no part in this work." Well, hello. "We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia has commanded us." Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. This is kind of a key. I feel like if we're going to learn to fight well together, we have to know who the builders are and who they aren't. And in this case, it appeared that these men were legit. They were like, "Hey, we want to come help you in this project. We want to help you. And after all, we serve the same God you do. And so why don't you let us help?" But what they didn't say is they wanted to help only because they wanted to slow down the process. That was their goal. And it's made clear because when they're told no, they were like, "Well, okay, we're going to start bribing people to slow you down." The other thing that I didn't know, I'll put it that way, is that when they said, "We serve the same God you do," they were only telling a half-truth. Yes, they worshiped God the same way they did, but they worshiped a bunch of gods. They didn't worship the one true living God and only him. So do you see how that would have created a problem in their building process? Because once they started doing something and they said, "We've heard from the Lord, this is how we're supposed to do it," they would come in and say, "Well, we've heard from this other God and he said not to do it that way." Do you see how that would create a problem? Okay. In your life, there are builders and there are some who aren't builders. Now, you know, my heart is to love everyone. I love everyone, but I'm strategic in who I allow to build into my life. I'm strategic. Well, Sandy, how do you know who's a builder or who's not a builder? Okay, there's a simple way to know. Imagine for a moment that you spend 3 days with that person, nonstop, 3 days. At the end of that 3 days, you know the answer to this question. Are you going to feel stronger in your faith or weaker in your faith? Are you going to have done things you're proud of or things you wish you hadn't done? That's how you know. It's very simple. Proverbs is full of cautions from the wisest man who ever lived, saying, "Be careful who you keep company with." And I will say, I know in my heart you can be a Christian, 100% Christian, and you can get into heaven and keep bad company. I'm confident of that. That's not the question here. The question is, how strong are you going to be in your faith, and how much influence are you going to have to expand his kingdom will be based on the kind of company you keep, without fail. I've been in ministry too long not to see a pattern. I see a pattern. We see this in Acts 16. This story always gets me a little bit. Acts 16, 16 through 18, it says, one day, this is Paul talking. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Now that sounds like a good message, doesn't it? That sounds like a good message. If somebody came in here and said, "Hey, she is a follower of God. Listen to what she said." I mean, most of us would be like, "Yay," right? This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Does anybody else find that just a little confusing? Like, what? What? She was saying all the right things. But there was something in the spirit behind what she was saying that exasperated Paul and frustrated the work of God. Listen, there are people in your lives who say all the right things, but if you listen to your spirit, you will know they frustrate what God is trying to accomplish inside of you. Love them, but it's okay to love them from a distance. You have to listen to the spirit and know who the builders are. Know who the builders are. That is an entire life lesson that could set people free if they grasp onto it. There's a huge life lesson. I got the greatest call from Suzanne this week. I actually got several phone calls and text messages and emails this week that were celebrations, and I was so excited. I'm like, wow, we get to celebrate together. I love testimonies, really some amazing stories. But Suzanne called me. She said, "Okay, I was reading in Ezra, as you recommended that I do, and God showed me the coolest thing in Ezra chapter 7. And I said, "Well, tell me about it. I want to know, because I love hearing what other people get from the Lord." So in Ezra 7, in the Message translation, whoops, I thought I had it on the right book in my app, and I didn't. In Ezra chapter 7, in the Message translation, it says, "After all this, Ezra," period. Isn't that weird? After all this. Now, after all this means all the fighting that had gone on and all the bribing and all the struggle to rebuild. After all this, Ezra. But what Suzanne heard in her heart, in her spirit, was, "Then Ezra." She said, "There is something about that that set me free." And she said, "I started thinking, what if we all saw ourselves in that way? Then Maggie. Then Judy. Then Kevin. What if we saw ourselves in that way? Then Ken." Wow. Don't you just feel your spirit going, like you want to rise up to that? Like, what difference could we make in this life if we saw ourselves in that way? And then in verse 6, so it talks about his lineage. It talks about who we came from and his history. And then in verse 6 of the Message, it says, "That's Ezra." I loved that she shared that with me, and it became like, I don't know, an anthem in my head for the rest of the week. Then Sandy. We get to write the part. That God lets us write the part. He lets us go, "Then Mark." What does that look like? What does that look like? "Then Dave." What does that look like? I thought that was so cool. Know the builders. Number 2, know the battle. We've been singing about it. "This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Know the battle. Ephesians 6, this is probably the most well-known passage about battles. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I'm still standing. Yep. Here's one of the greatest tricks of the trickster. He wants us fighting a different battle. If he can get us distracted fighting a different battle, then we are not fighting the battle. How crazy would it be if you went to watch your high school football team and they all got out there on the field and they assumed the position to play, and then they all just scattered to the stands and started fighting with people in the stands? You'd be like, what? That's what we do all the time. We do that. I do it. I'm not saying I don't. But something happens that I didn't expect, and I am sucked into a battle I have no business being in. Know the battle. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is not against political parties. The battle is not against ideologies. The battle is not even against correct doctrine. The battle is in the spiritual realm. Don't ever forget it. Don't fight some battle you don't belong to. Now, as I was preparing this message, I really felt inspired to ask Roger to give us a little explanation of something that New Zealand is known for. And he's going to tell you a little bit about it. And then I have a video of it that's about 4 minutes long. And I think you're going to love it. It's going to really inspire you.
I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. So I know. I'm not ready for it. So in New Zealand, by the way, kia ora, if anybody doesn't know, I'm from New Zealand. And I could go full Kiwi on you right now. Yeah? Yeah? No, because otherwise people won't understand. But anyway, so this is your cultural immersion for the week, right? The haka in New Zealand is, it's a traditional war cry, war dance, or it's a challenge in Māori. If you can all say the word Māori. No, Māori. No, not Māori. Māori. Okay, never mind. war haka were originally, so haka, H-A-K-A, were originally performed by the Māori warriors before battle. And they were designed to proclaim their strength, their prowess, their pride, and they were designed to intimidate the opposition. And so the idea was, if you were an opponent worthy of fighting them, you would stay and face them, right? So it was a challenge. They're actually also used to welcome distinguished guests. So same kind of thing there. If you are going to be a guest in my home, you should have the right stuff to come in, right? So that's kind of it kind of weeds out people that shouldn't be there, I guess. It also is used to acknowledge great achievements, occasions, or the passing of significant members of the community. So in New Zealand, you'll find that they'll do hakas at funerals. They'll do hakas at like retirements. So there have been a couple of occasions where actually my family, my father retired, or he moved from a high school where he was a principal, and the school did a haka for him. So, you know, 300 people doing that. I was only 8, I think, or 9. In New Zealand, a lot of times you'll see the haka actually performed before sporting events, and it's most popularly known by the All Blacks rugby team. But it's also done by other sporting teams around the world. New Zealand's the only national, or the only sporting nation in the world where we do the haka. There are other Polynesian islands where they do other variations called the Sipitau for Samoa. Tonga has one, Fiji has one as well. They're all a little bit different. They're all island culture, Pacific island culture based. So we've got a little video now. You guys can check it out. If you have any questions, let me know. That's your cultural immersion for the week.
The beginning of haka starts at the beginning of time. Haka is simply a dance that we do prior to battle, back in traditional times. It was used to intimidate your opponent. How we see haka today is usually the aggressive dance that we perform. When we do haka, there's a message within the haka, whether it's a social message or a tribute to somebody. It's a vehicle for us to be able to express ourselves in the present. What was interesting about this particular haka, Taku Tū Ranga Waiwai Motu Haka, which we did for Richie, we went English first. So the first part of the haka actually talks about who we are and where we're from, and that we belong here. We don't own the land, we belong to it, and while we're here, we are the guardians of that land. Then the second part of the haka is about the challenges that may arise.
So when you do that action, mean it. When you hit that and you go up there, right, like, much better.
We thrive on culture, and yes, something that's been around for centuries, probably our whole lifetimes. That's really important to us as Māori.
Just keeping it going too, eh?
Yeah.
You fellas have got that haka sorted. We got the kupu, we got the words, we got the actions. Ka pai. Now we got to take it to another level, boys, okay? And that's coming from inside, from in here. Ka pai. In there. So don't leave anything in the tank, boys. From here. Not there, from here. Right? In the lines. Right, let's go. Starting off, I'm boys, that was much better.
I think it's a spirit that when a haka is done well, that's what captures people. And they may not be Māori, but there's something in there that they connect with. Haka has been a part of New Zealand for a long time. It will always be Māori. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're Māori, Chinese, Vietnamese, Pākehā, it doesn't matter. We're all one when we hear that haka performed prior to the match.
Got me thinking, you know? What if we had a war dance? If we knew the battle and we had our own war dance. I love when he said, we've got the words, we've got the actions, now we need to take it to another level where it's coming from inside. Ooh. So don't leave anything in the tank, boys, he said. From here, not there, from here. I think sometimes in Christian circles, we have all the right words. We have all the right actions. We've got the words down, we've got the actions down. And God is saying, I want to take it to another level. I want it to come from in here, not here, from in here. When he put his forehead on that statue, at first I was a little like bothered by that, just being honest. So I said to Roger, I go, that bothers me a little bit. He goes, well, what you don't know is that's a traditional greeting in the culture. They, when they say hello, they touch forehead to forehead. He was saying hello. It wasn't like he was worshiping an ancestor. Relax. I told myself. You know what I mean? Some things we misunderstand because we don't get the culture and we make the wrong assumption. That's a sideline. Friday night at worship, as many of you are probably aware of, sometimes in worship I get excited and I just yell like, woo! I can't help it. It's not like I plan it. It's not like I'm going, please look at me. It comes from something inside of me that just erupts in praise, right? And so it was so crazy because I heard myself doing that on Friday night. And I'm like, Lord, why do I do that? That is weird. I really don't want to be weird. And you know what he spoke to me? I have never thought about this before. My grandmother was 1/4, 25% Cherokee Indian. And when I said, God, why do I do this? He goes, that's the Cherokee Indian in you coming out. It's your war cry. I went, oh, I'm proud of it now. I'm 1/16 Cherokee Indian. And so when you hear me go, woo, I'm not going to do it right now because I have the mic on. When you hear me do that, just know that's my Indian ancestors coming out and praising God in me. Seriously, it's, know the battle. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is not on Facebook. The battle is in the spiritual realm. That's where it is. I almost said, know your battle, but then God said, no, that's not right. Because it's not your battle. It's his battle. Not your battle, his battle. Point number three, last point. But it's a long one, so don't think you're going to leave in 2 minutes, okay? Just kidding. Point number three, know your weapons. Know your weapons. Know the builders, know the battle, know your weapons. Ephesians 6, 14 through 18, stand your ground. I can just see the haka dance when I say that now. Stand your ground, with a guy's tongue hanging out, like, you know? Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Most of you have studied these weapons quite well. You probably even dressed up in them in children's church at some point in your life. Admit it if you have. Thank you. Yes. And if you watched Bible Man, then you definitely know about the weapons. But I did spell them out on the notes. The belt of truth, the armor of God's righteousness, the shoes, which is peace. Thank God for the peace of the shoes of peace. Woo, I'm so grateful for that. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword, the word of God. But all the time, pray in the Spirit. Don't forget about that being one of your weapons. But it was so funny this week as I was studying this and praying about it. I was like, God, those are great weapons. And all of them except the last two are defensive weapons. You notice that, right? And God said, no, they're not. That's what I've always been told. What do you mean, no, they're not? He goes, they're protective weapons. I didn't call you to defend yourself. I called you to protect what I've already said over you and in you. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't have to defend. What? I just have to protect what he said. Now, if you look at those weapons, they're different, right? You probably have heard the belt of truth in the days that this was written was a belt, but it held together all the other armor. It would hold up everything else that was protective. So truth is obviously important. I mean, all of those things are important. God's righteousness, peace from good news, faith, salvation. The only offensive weapon is the word of God. But we've used it to fight a battle against people. I'm going to take my Bible. I'm going to throw it at you. I'm going to hit you over the head with my Bible. And then it's okay because it's the word of God. It's the sword of God. But don't forget your battle, or the battle, is not against flesh and blood. Don't use this against flesh and blood. Fight it in the spiritual realm. The greatest weapon to me is that last one. I mean, they're all great. I shouldn't say it that way. But one of the most underutilized weapons, I'll put it that way, is praying in the Spirit. There are times in my life when I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. And I don't even know what I need sometimes. Have you ever been aware that there's a hole inside of you and you don't even know what it is? Like, what is wrong with me? I should be fine. I should be happy. I should be strong. Something's not right. Pray in the Spirit. Because your spirit can communicate directly with God, and it will be taken care of. But just because I wanted to, I'm going to give you 3 bonus secret weapons today that aren't listed there. You ready? Bonus secret weapons. Number 1 is going to surprise you. Rest. Rest is a powerful weapon against the enemy. Now, when I say rest, I don't mean binge watching Netflix. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the recliner going up and you growing to the recliner. That's not what I mean. I don't mean binging on anything. Oreos, exercise, you fill in the blank. That's not what I mean when I say rest. When I say rest, that's when you intentionally put yourself in a place of surrender. In my mind, I imagine myself crawling up into God's lap and doing that. Because when you can rest, what you're admitting to the Father is, I can't fight this battle. This is too big for me. And so I'm just going to let you take care of things while I rest in your lap. And it speaks such trust to him. One time in my devotions, I felt like the Lord said to me, Sandy, your trust in me is such a priceless, priceless treasure. The way you trust me, I just felt him saying how pleased he was over that. And rest, rest can do that. See, because what we try to do when we make it happen, I'm picking up my shield of faith, and you're like, determined. My helmet of salvation's going on, and we're ready to do the haka. Right? rest says to all that, it's not on me. It's not on me. Now, can we cooperate or not cooperate? Absolutely. But rest, it has been one of my most effective weapons in my spiritual walk. I'm just telling you, when I'm fighting the hardest, when I'm feeling the most frustration, when I'm feeling the most angst inside, I feel like the Lord says, come away with me. Come away with me and be my love. And I just enter into rest, and everything changes. Another secret weapon, some of you are going to love this. When I had my boys at home, they loved this one. All-you-can-eat buffets. That is a secret weapon. All-you-can-eat buffets. And believe me, if you had 3 teenage boys living in your home, you would be searching out the all-you-can-eat buffets. they got their money's worth and way more. I could never get my money's worth. They got their money's worth out of it, right? In the spiritual realm, what does God say in Psalm 23? He prepares a banquet for me in the presence of my enemies. All-you-can-eat buffets are a great spiritual weapon. What do they look like? They look like Friday night encounter God worship nights, where you just come and you just get so full of the presence of God, you can barely walk. But it's not hard. It's not like, oh, I've got to make sure I do this. It's not that. It's bellying up to the table. That's all it is, really. It's pulling up to the table and saying, God, what do you have prepared for me today? What do I get to eat today? It might be a verse. It might be a song like Jen talked about this morning. It might be a dream. It might be a vision. It can be anything. It can be anything. But an all-you-can-eat buffet is an incredible secret weapon when you're in battle. Because what it says is, I'm not fighting that. I am feasting on God. That's what I'm doing. And the last bonus secret weapon, brave friends. Brave friends. I am so thankful for friends in my life. Can I use what you did in the foyer this morning with your wallet? Is that okay if I tell that story? So Natalie got this new wallet. She pulls it out and she goes, okay, I want you to be honest with me. Do you like this or not? I'm a brave friend. I said, no, I don't. Really not a fan of it. But here's the thing. I told her, I said, listen, if you like that wallet, carry it in pride. But you asked me if I like it. I'm going to not tell you a lie. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, I would have picked that out, because I wouldn't have picked it out. But it's okay. I love that Natalie is unique and feels comfortable carrying something that maybe no one else likes. And that's okay. Should we do a poll? No. We all need brave friends in our lives. Now, you and I both know. Let's say God has been kind of turning something over in your head and you're like, I wonder if that's okay or if that's not okay. You and I both know the friends that we could go to who would tell us what we want to hear. So not only do you need brave friends, you need to be brave yourself. Like, that took a lot of courage for her to ask us that. I would never have asked that. I would have been like, no, I like it. I'm just going to keep it hidden. Hopefully nobody else will notice it. Right? We have to be brave enough to go to brave friends and say, okay, I'm dealing with this. What are your thoughts on it? What do you think about this? And for goodness sake, ask someone who knows what a spiritual battle is. Don't ask somebody who has no clue what a spiritual battle is. Come on, you know. I am so thankful for people in my life who've said to me, Sandy, you need to be careful. You're kind of getting off here on this. Be careful. Now listen, I don't open that up to Facebook. Hey, Facebook, I'm taking a poll. What do you think about this? I don't do that. Because there's some people, I don't care much what they think. Sorry, I can love them, really. But they're not going to be a builder in my life. But there are people in my life, if they say to me, my sister is one, I'm so thankful for my sister with her deep Southern accent. You would love her so much if she were, you would just fall in love with her. She's got a really deep Southern accent. And I'll say, Susan, I'm struggling with this a little bit. What do you think? She'll just tell me flat out what she's thinking. Well, Sandy, I think you just need to forget that and let that go. I'm like, okay. need to let that go, honey. You need to lay that down. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. He let that go, honey. I trust her. Because here's what I trust. I trust that I don't see all things clearly. I know I don't. So if someone I love and respect says to me, oh, you might be missing something here, I listen and I pay attention. Know your builders, know the battle, know your weapons, and we will fight together like nobody's business. I loved that Haka, the words on that, where it said, we are the children. I'm not going to say the word they used because it's a New Zealand word, and there's a hair in my mouth, and it's driving me crazy. So anyway, sorry. We are the children of New Zealand, it said. We hold the knowledge of our ancestors. We stand proud. We stand strong. We seek the path to success. We carry our legacy for future generations. What if you saw yourself as carrying a legacy for future generations? The kids you will never meet will benefit from the work that you're doing right now. I heard Ray Hughes say last week, he said, I don't have a 5-year plan, I have a 500-year plan. And I was like, yes! Because 5-year plans frustrate me, honestly. I'm like, I just can't measure up. Everybody else has it together and I'm a mess. 500-year plans, I can do that. I can do that. Because what that says to me is I'm going to do my best to live in the kingdom of God and to take as much territory as I can in the kingdom of God and trust that my kids and their kids and their kids are going to benefit from the hard work I'm doing today, even if I never see the benefit of it myself. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. We're too short-sighted. We're way too short-sighted. Well, I tried dieting for 10 days and I gained 3 pounds. We got to get the long view. We got to get the long view. I worked out 3 times this week. Where are my muscles? It takes longer than that. God, I thank you that we are a people that you have put on this land to make a difference. We are a people that you created from dirt because we are so much part of this earth. God, I thank you that you are building in us a legacy that we might not see the fruit of it today. We might not see it tomorrow, God, but there is a legacy being woven together that we rejoice over now, even when we don't see it. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage individually and corporately and in our homes to live a legacy, God. To know the builders, to know the battle, and to know our weapons, the protective ones, the offensive ones, and the secret ones. God, because we want to live our highest destiny for you. We want to live up to the dreams you've had for us. I thank you that as we do that, we're going to experience freedom and joy in new ways. We're going to have hope to pass out like it's candy. We're going to have so much hope. There's never going to be a depletion of hope in our lives. We're just going to pass it out, and as we pass it out, we're going to get double back. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for every person who's so genuine in this place. I'm so thankful for them, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to know how to fight together, how to lift each other up. when needed, and to stand strong, like the guys who do the haka, to stand strong and to stand together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.